God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 13. And we have a little bit of a surprise as we sort of begin our text for today. I don't know if you caught the surprise. The Pharisees, or at least a small group of the Pharisees, are wishing to warn Jesus that Herod wants to kill him. Now, typically, we always treat the Pharisees as the bad guys, so to speak. Those religious leaders who have failed to hear God's word, those religious leaders who wanted to nail Jesus to the cross, those religious leaders who just didn't understand that, yes, Jesus is the Savior. But here in verse 31, I guess we have to do a little bit of repentance, so to speak. Because at least there's a small group of Pharisees, we don't know how big, but we can also gather from John chapter 1 or chapter 3 that Nicodemus is also part of this group. A Pharisee who come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, guess what? Herod wants to kill you. Go ahead and leave this place. They were probably genuinely concerned for Jesus. Otherwise, why bring the message? Now, I don't know if you've ever received a death threat. If you have, it probably has shook you up. And it probably would shake me up also. But notice what Jesus' reaction, or you could say lack of reaction, is. He doesn't sit there and say, okay, it's time to get out of Dodge. He doesn't sit there and say, time to rally the forces and let's go kill Herod before he kills us. No, he replied, go tell that fox. Not that Herod was literally a fox, but he was acting very sly and cunningly. So picking up on that concept of a fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today, tomorrow, and the third day. It's interesting. Basically, Jesus is going to say, you know, what's the difference? So he wants to kill me. That's nice. I'm going to still keep on doing what I've been doing, proclaiming God's word, healing people, driving out evil spirits. And he says, today, tomorrow, and the third day, I will reach my goal. It's interesting. Herod has a change of plans for Jesus, but Jesus sits there and says, I'm not going to listen to your change in plans. I'm going to stick to my goal. I'm going to stick to my purpose. I'm going to stick to God's plan of salvation for all mankind, regardless what Herod does. Can we have that kind of focus in life? As we see God's word put before us, can we have that kind of focus that we're going to maintain to God's word, regardless what goes on in our life? Or how often does our own lives get sidetracked? Maybe not because of death threats, but because of other things that we think is more important. Notice Jesus didn't allow his mission and ministry to get sidetracked. He stuck to the God's will, to the Father's will. And he says, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today, tomorrow, and the next day. And then maybe with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek and a little bit of smile on his face, I can sort of picture Jesus saying, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Why do I say a little bit of tongue-in-cheek? Well, God had sent many prophets. Our Old Testament lesson picks up on the prophet Jeremiah. And the same result occurred with each and every one of the prophets. Guess what? It was God's own people that God sent the prophets to who killed the prophets. Not the government, but God's own people. So here the death threat from Herod comes. And Herod represents the government, not God's people. And so Jesus, you know, with a little bit of smile and saying, Herod's not going to kill me. It's going to be God's own people that kill me. We have to ask the question, why? Why would God's people want to kill a messenger or even God himself? Well, let's hop to our Old Testament reading for today for a moment. Did you catch the people's response? Plain, simple, to the point in that first paragraph from Jeremiah chapter 26. The people seized him and said, you must die. Plain, simple, right to the point. No beating around the bush. Why? Why? Because they didn't like the message that the prophet proclaimed. They don't like hearing that message of the law of God that convicts us of our sin, that law of God that wants us to turn around and follow God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. No, they want to do their own thing. And when the prophet comes to sort of turn the people around, to bring them back to God, the people say, well, he's a prophet. What else do you do with a prophet you don't like? Kill him. Plain and simple. In one essence, things aren't too much different in today's world. Notice the back of our bulletin cover under the purple section says, even today, pastors are at times disliked because they preach the hard word of God's judgment against us. That's that law. The law must be there for us sinners to realize our sin and for us to realize we need that Savior. But honestly, do we like the law? The truth of the answer is, when the law is proclaimed to us, our original sinful nature is no different than the people of Israel. You must die. Please don't take that literally. This is one of the reasons why we call pastors and we don't contract them. The reason why our church calls pastors is because that call is for life. Can you picture what would happen if I was contracted and my term of employment would only be based on how you liked my sermons? Well, I would just drop off the law really quickly. Just preach the wonderful gospel of God. Everyone's going to be saved. Everyone's going to heaven. Oh, we like this pastor. He's a keeper. But is that consistent with God's word? The answer is no. God's word says, guess what? There's that law. You can't go about doing your own thing. You got to remain close to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You got to seek to Him as the source of your protection. You can't handle it by yourself in this world. And Jesus picks up on that same concept and says, guess what? The rebellious people of Israel and us, and because of our rebellion with sin, we're a bunch of like little chicks wandering away from the mother hen. And now the mother hen is now calling us. And Jesus says, I want to call you. I want you to come back. But guess what? What do those chicks have to do in order to come back to the mother hen? They have to turn around and go back to the source, the one who provides comfort, the one who provides protection, the one who cares and feeds them, the mother hen. Notice what Jesus says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed. I like that word, long. Jesus really desires to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. You see, the hen has to stand still and issues the call, come back, there's danger. Come back, your ways are leading you to destruction. And the mother hen cannot necessarily go out to all the different chicks. Why? Because some of them are hanging around her and sitting there going, okay, Mom, we know you're right, we're right here. And she keeps on calling those at the periphery and say, come on back, come on back, come on back. And what happens if they don't listen? What happens if they're stuck in their sin and rebellious ways? Danger may come and snatch them. And the mother hen longs for each and every one of those chicks. So God also longs for each and every one of us to come back to Him. But how easy is it to confess our sins? How easy is it for us to turn around our lives and come back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And the answer to that question is, it's sometimes really, really tough. This has been a very interesting week for me personally. Had some up moments and some down moments. One of those interesting times was when the district president called me at home. And he basically had to call me to repentance because of I overstepped my boundary. He reminded me that I was trying to act in someone else's position, that I wasn't the circuit counselor nor the district president. And he called me to repentance. And so what was my reaction? Was my reaction, well, I can do whatever I want? Was my reaction saying, well, you just wait until the next election and I'll unseat you as district president? Was my reaction to gather up all the troops and say, we need to get rid of this district president? He used the law on me. How dare him? No. Fortunately for me, my reaction was, you're right. I didn't see it that way. I'm sorry. I turned around and said, you know, you're right. You spoke the clear word of God to me. What's my reaction? To repent, turn around, and place myself again under His authority. Same thing is true for us with the word of God. God calls us as a mother hen calls her chicks and says, turn around, come back. You're in a moment of danger. But what do we do? Do we come back? It's easy to say those words in the beginning part of our liturgy. It's easy for us to say as a whole congregation, yes, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, but now do we really mean it? check your heart for a moment. Hopefully, yes, it's still beating, but check your spiritual heart. Because what occurs after that confession? We have the absolution. And do you firmly believe that the word of absolution, of God's grace that I speak to you, is from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you truly cherish that word of absolution, that your sins are forgiven with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength? Are you sort of that chick that returns back to the mother hen and grabs her with both arms or both flaps or wings or however it happens and says, "Thank you, I'm glad I'm back. I'm glad I'm back in safety. Thank you for calling me back." Or do you sit there and say, "Yeah, Mom, I'm back. What do you want?" You can sort of gauge yourself by how much do you value that forgiveness of sins. If you really value it, then you're here at the right place, the right time, for the right purpose. Then you've come for the right reason. God has called you back. And you're saying, "Yes, I'm glad. Thank you for calling me back. I was in danger. Thank you for restoring to me the joy of your salvation. Thank you for calling me that I may be your own." But when people sin against us, when people try to distract us, what do we do? Do we have that same approach that I need to have with my district president and saying, "You know, you're right, I have sinned"? Or when other people do some sins against us, what is our reaction? Do we follow the model that Jesus puts before us of going back to Him and God's Word? Or do we let our anger consume us, let our vengeance come forward and say, "I will get you in the end, trust me"? Notice that isn't what Jesus did. He stuck clearly with God's Word, God's plan of salvation, and he ultimately chose to die for all of us. Even though we have sinned, even though we're in the midst of danger and we delight in that, being in the midst of that danger, so to speak, by our actions, Jesus says, "I'm going to die for you because I want to be able to call you." And now he calls us to be with him in heaven above. On this day, as we take a look at Jesus' words and his relationship with Herod, he didn't have anything to fear. He's the Son of God. He knew God's plan of salvation. Herod wasn't going to kill him. His own people would. It was going to hurt a lot more. More than the physical pain upon the cross, the emotional pain of your little ones, so to speak, stabbing you, hurting you, crucifying you. But our Lord said, "Guess what? I need to accomplish this in order for them to be saved. Otherwise, they are lost forever." God didn't want us to be lost forever, but He wanted us to be gathered. He knew the plan of salvation. He knew He had to go to the cross, and He did it for each and every one of us because He loves us so. And now He issues that call. "Come to me. Grow in my faith. Grow in my word. Don't leave me. Hang on to the source of your life." Do we answer that call? Or do we follow in our own sin and rebellious ways? In one essence, Luke chapter 13 challenges us to think and says, "Yes, Lord, I may not like the law. I may not like being called back to turn around from my sinful ways. But in you, Lord, I have life. In you, Lord, I have my salvation. In you, Lord, I have hope. So when the call comes out, I turn back." We ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit so that when His call comes out, we rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that He alone provides. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.